Burgess has been working hard, so our listens have been going up. Oh, okay. Burgess has been downloading it at least 100 times a week. So
on 100 different devices?
I'm glad that's showing up. Oh,
yeah. So our numbers are great.
Please bless the refreshments to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello, and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. Well, we're delivering on our promise we made last week. This last general conference was so good, with so many talking points and themes and even interactions on Twitter, that we had to dedicate a whole episode to it. And don't worry, like I said last week, we'll still have our always enjoyable general conference fantasy draft coming up soon. Hope you enjoy.
Good times. All right. Well, let's just jump right into it then, right? General conference. Let's chat about our thoughts and feelings. I will say it was interesting to see the seating arrangements. I didn't really understand it. Like, the bottom was packed, nowhere else was, right? In fact, I saw a tweet that like showed like one of the upper decks that saw, it was like really sparse, and it said general conference looking like a Pac-12 football game. That made my weekend.
Yeah, it looked like they said it needs to be 50% capacity, but then they missed the point of it being 50% capacity.
No. But they put the church, you know, historically, this is what the church does, right? So you get into elders quorum meeting, you see that everyone is sit far away and in the back, and you tell them all to move up front.
You're right.
And pack the front. So, I mean, really, they're just, you know, staying with tradition.
Right. So we just missed that part when President Nelson stood up and said, if everybody can just move up.
It's really hard for me to engage with the people in the back. Can you guys just come up to the front? It's really hard for you guys to see my slides.
And I need you to get your scriptures out.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good times. I haven't been an elders quorum instructor for a very long time. Good times. So what were your thoughts and feelings about was this the 192nd?
It was indeed. The MP3 conference, yes.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you got to...
192 kilobytes a second.
I did not know that was the bit rate.
That's the bit rate for every one of our episodes. Am I the only one that knows that?
No, like, guys, I knew that. It just wasn't... It just would never have been something I brought up, I guess, or connected to anything else.
It's a very meaningful number to me. I thought after a year of doing the show, it would be meaningful to you guys too, but I guess not.
I have no idea what the bit rate is. I show up and I talk. That's my job.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So what were your initial feelings about this last week's general conference?
It's my opinion. There comes times, and this isn't the first time this has happened, but there comes times, and we see this in the Book of Mormon, you know, on several occasions on different things, where the prophet and the apostles get up and say, look, we see these things creeping into the church, and we are going to tell you exactly what the doctrine is, and we invite you to accept that as the word and will of the Lord. And this was absolutely one of those conferences.
Can you give us some examples?
I'm thinking of some.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm just, yeah. What examples do you have?
So, you know, I think we warmed up with Elder Bednar's talk. We heeded them not.
Yes,
so
that's a good one.
It was great. But then we got into some specific things in Elder Redland's talk when he got up for women's conference. We do not pray to Heavenly Mother. He got up and was very clear about that. And they felt strongly that that was a message they needed to send. Elder Oaks got up and reaffirmed that the family proclamation is church doctrine, and that there is a defining line in the church between the Lord's view of the family and the world's view of, you know, those gray lines or whatever there is. I mean, I just felt like it was very clear that there were several things that the brethren felt that they needed to come out and clarify and say, look, this is the doctrine of the church. We still love everyone, and we preserve everyone's right to agency and to think how they want to, but this is the doctrine. And it was interesting, too, because Elder Redland and Elder Oaks said several times during their talks that the Lord's doctrine does not change. Practices and things like that do change. Like, you know, Elder Oaks got up and kind of gave an introduction about what the Saturday evening session is and would be for the foreseeable future, and wanted to make that clear. And that's, you know, just a practice of the church, and those things can modify over time. But the fundamental doctrine of the church is eternal and does not change with public opinion. And so I thought that was an interesting aspect of conference, and something that prophets do from time to time throughout the history of the church.
Can we take Elder Renlund's talk? Because that's one that I just noticed that they were published today, so I haven't reviewed it yet.
Okay.
And I, again, like an idiot, I went on Twitter during General Conference, which was the bad place, like the actual bad place from the bad place with bees with teeth.
Right.
The monsters they come up with those. I saw that a lot of people were kind of, not a lot of people, but people were up in arms about, you know, Mormonism and feminism and Heavenly Mother. Like, was that all he said about that? Because I felt like something big must have happened, but he just said, we don't pray to Heavenly Mother, right? And we shouldn't speculate.
Yes.
About Heavenly Mother.
Right. Well, we shouldn't speculate in general. He was making a general point about theorizing. I'll be the first to admit that I don't think I dive heavily into this, but I do like to think about things.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And whether I get to into speculation or not, I'm sure I do at times. But he said that we shouldn't get deep into speculation about things that have not been revealed.
Okay.
Right? And I think what that constitutes, you can kind of judge for yourself. But he brought up specifically that Christ taught us that we are to pray to the Father in his name, and that's all that we've been taught. And to go beyond that is not in accordance with revealed truth from the prophet or any church authority or anything like that. So it kind of falls into like anything more or less of this is not of me, kind of a thing that Christ taught to the Nephites.
And do you think he means we shouldn't speculate in public? Like, we shouldn't have these types of, say, Heavenly Mother's A, B, and C in like a church meeting? Or do you think that conversations like this that may or may not be published on the internet, that would be inappropriate? Because we did have an episode where we discussed things that were not in the scriptures and were not revealed truths, but they were thoughts and opinions and revealed truths to us.
So was the result of that episode that we should be turning our worship to Heavenly Mother?
It was not that.
It was not that. Sure. And I think that's what he's getting at. When we have to modify church doctrine and worship practices that have been revealed to us by prophets and apostles, that is when we are on the wrong path. And that's my opinion of what he was saying. Not to say that we can't think about it, ponder about things, have, you know, some conversation about things that we might not know about. If that was the case, I'd be going to hell for sure. But, you know, I think when it comes to like, oh, we need to modify our practices in our worship according to these theories that we have, I think that's the danger, right?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with talking it out. Even like a gospel doctrine class, like saying, hey, I had this thought. What do you guys think about this? And then talking, like, I feel like that's what they did in the early days of the church all the time.
Right,
when they didn't have all this stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Right, and talk through it, and that's where we get a lot of the crazy stuff that Brigham Young said, because a lot of it was speculating, you know, but everything was written down pretty much, you know?
Right.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with talking it out, especially with your spouse, with close friends, and even in a church doctrine setting.
Sure.
You know, just bringing up what your thoughts are and how you feel, but I agree that if it modifies your practices, there's a difference between, like, talking it out and trying to get a well-rounded feel of everything than preaching doctrine, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And take this as an example. So in the Book of Mormon, after the sign was given of Christ's birth, it was prophesied by Samuel the Lamanite. What happened almost immediately thereafter? There was a faction in the church that speculated the law of Moses had been fulfilled, right? And endeavoring to prove by the scriptures that that had happened. But the authorities at that time in the church went around and explained to them that that was not the case, and they were convinced of the error that they were in. And they repented, and they acknowledged that it had not yet been fulfilled. So when that amazing thing happened, they're like, oh, this must mean the law of Moses is done. And they just didn't understand. They were looking beyond the mark. No one had told them that. They just assumed that that had happened. And assuming that would change substantially their worship. Because mm-hmm. if the law of Moses is fulfilled, okay, what's replacing it?
Right.
Now, when Christ came, he told them what replaced it. But that hadn't been revealed to them yet. They were just mm-hmm. taking a leap. And so those are the things that we need to be careful about, especially if it's not only affecting our personal worship, if we're advocating that to other people,
right. that's where it gets
especially, for sure. especially dangerous.
Yeah. And I would suggest everyone to listen to our Mother in Heaven episode, especially if they're wondering about this or even, just wondering about this topic of Mother in Heaven, because I think it was really, really well done because most of the talking wasn't us. And, but Amy was showing me some of the stuff like on Instagram and some of the people that were hurt by this talk. And
right.
Like I don't want to invalidate anybody's pain. You know, it seemed like they really wanted to hear something and it ended up hearing the opposite. But I thought Amy had a really good view on it, how she felt like she received a relationship with Heavenly Mother was to ask Heavenly Father to have a relationship to express her desire to have a relationship with her mother in heaven through her prayers.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it just hits to the broader point of if we really want a testimony of something, if we really want a spiritual experience, the only thing stopping us is ourselves, you know? If you have some expectation or if you want some sort of spiritual experience and you're just expecting it to come from the mouth of one of the church leaders, most likely you're going to be disappointed, you know? If you want a spiritual experience, it's going to come from the Holy Ghost and it's going to come very personally, you know? And so I think the expectations weren't put into the right place. Just according to some of the messages that I saw, some of the people that were hurt by it.
Right.
So I think everything is out there for us to have, you know, we each have the spirit of revelation, you know, and so we can have that. Now, like we've said, like that doesn't this doesn't just apply to Heavenly Mother. This applies to any revelation that we get personally. It doesn't mean we preach it over the pulpit.
Right.
Whatever revelation that we get, there's times and places for it. But, I know people are hurting out there, and I would just invite them to really reach out to their Father in Heaven and just express their desire to Him. And I think they'll find the peace that they're looking for.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think too, just to make this point really quick, I don't know if this happens to everyone, but I suspect it happens to a lot of people and a lot of people that, you know, are active and faithful in the church, that there are going to at times be things said across the pulpit that are hard for anyone and everyone, right? I had an experience, and I don't have many actually, but it wasn't that long ago where I had an experience and it took me some really soul-wrenching days to come to terms with it. Like it just, I really had a hard time. And I believe that happens to everyone. It's not on the same thing, but from certain things that are taught by our leaders in the church, sometimes they're hard, right? And we understand that and we empathize with that. I would never tell anyone, you know, just suck it up and get over it. There's a personal process you go through to come mm-hmm. to terms with those things, right? But I do know that regardless of whether I'm in agreement or I have a harder time accepting what comes across, I know that there is safety in what God's appointed leaders tell His church. It may be painful sometimes, but I would encourage just to really reach out to your Father in Heaven and go through that process, because it can turn into a good thing in my experience.
For everyone's reference, our Mother in Heaven episode was episode 6. Guys, episode
6. Was it really?
Yeah.
It's been almost a year ago.
Published on May 12th, 2021. People loved that episode a lot. It was episode 6, Mother in Heaven.
It's all downhill after that. So episode 6, then go to Christmas, and then don't let, yeah. You don't really have to listen to anything in between.
Mary Mother of Christ is also a very good episode where our wives came back on as well. Can we, before we go into missionary work, because I definitely want to cover that for sure. Do we want to talk about Elder Oaks' talk and how people are reacting to it?
How are people reacting?
Here's the thing that I think is interesting. There is this pattern. And like I said, the Book of Mormon has, you know, we've talked about some examples already. Mormon wrote an epistle to his son Moroni about the saints and their practice of baptism, right? It needed a reaffirming. Even things in the church that are fairly clear, over time, things start to normalize, you know, in people's lives. So there's what's going on in society, and they kind of take place in our consciousness, right? The church's stance on the family has not changed. It hadn't even changed since before 1996 when the proclamation came out. But there was a need, because of all of the stuff that's going on in society, to reaffirm what the church's stance is on the nature of the family and all of those things. I know what you're talking about, Johnny, in terms of the reaction. I've seen some of them, but I just, it's interesting because this is what the church has always preached.
I get that. And I understand that a lot as well. I understand. However, on the other hand, I understand why this alienates people and why people who are a part of our church as well, why it has a feeling of exclusion to gay and trans people of the church.
Could I say that a different way?
Sure.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I would say it like this, because the gospel of Jesus Christ does not exclude anyone. I understand why what Elder Oaks said was hard. If you have that circumstance in your life, I completely understand why what he said was hard for you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you could say the same thing about any other standard that we're asked to live in the gospel that might be hard for someone. Just because someone doesn't have that particular circumstance in their life doesn't mean there's not another one that they hear from the pulpit that is also hard for someone else, right? Word of wisdom, law of chastity, whatever the case may be, you know, that an individual struggles with. So I do understand that. I do not feel like any of that is exclusionary. And the reason for that is because the church is always inviting everyone to follow the Savior and keep the commandments that he has given us. I think the Savior understands that those things are hard sometimes. And you could say maybe even in this particular aspect with the LGBTQ community, particularly hard, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I don't feel that exclusionary is an accurate description of that, because everyone is invited. We don't turn anyone away, but there are things that the Lord has commanded us to do, and we're all trying to be more perfect in that. But I think exclusionary is just not quite the way that I would describe that.
I would say for the most part, that's true. But we exclude gays and lesbians from celestial or from temple marriage. You cannot have a temple marriage and marry who you want to if you are gay or are lesbian or anywhere on that spectrum. I think my frustration comes is that I don't know. Like, I don't know how all of these. I'm equally vexed on all ends of this, topic. You know, like, I understand that marriage between man and a woman is taught as doctrine. And that is what is, that generally speaking is what the church teaches, and what the plan of salvation, generally speaking, is tailored to. But it also makes me really uncomfortable sometimes to talk about the ramifications of how marginalized people in the church can be perceived as marginalizing people in the church. And I think that my emotions come out of this. Like, I hope that as we've been speaking, that I'm not coming off as like angry or dismissive of either of your opinions. It's just so hard that I get frustrated that I don't know. And it makes me really uncomfortable.
Can I ask where that comes from for you, do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
Where my discomfort comes from?
Yeah.
Again, for me, it's the cognitive dissonance of eternal families as doctrine right now. It's two opposing things that I hold. It's something that I hold dear in my eternal family. My love for my wife, my love for my children, my hope that we are an eternal family forever. And how sad I would be if that were taken away from me. If something I love so much, like the church and people I trust so much, like Elder, like President Oaks, were to say something that would essentially take away that blessing from me. And I'm not saying that, again, I'm just trying to flip the script flip the situation on in my perspective, right? Something that I've worked so hard to build. I don't want to be with anyone but Janine. And if there were doctrine that said I couldn't have that, that would be devastating to me.
Sure.
I wouldn't know what to do. And so I'm still trying to figure that out. And that makes me sad. Again, I know Christ knows and loves everyone. But again, when it's just been hard for me to figure out. I haven't figured it out yet. It makes me feel incredibly vulnerable because I can understand why people feel one way and why people feel another way. And I don't particularly know how to feel yet.
Yeah, it was interesting. There's a couple of other talks that were brought up in General Conference that I think touch on that issue because for one thing, I think we're supposed to struggle with things.
Sure. It would be easy if we didn't.
Yeah, that's the growth process, right?
Yeah, for sure.
King Benjamin taught us, you know, I can't tell you in every single circumstance, you know, how you should act. I just can tell you if you don't watch yourselves that there's many traps that we can fall into, right? But what I will say is that there was two talks that stuck out in particular to me. One of them was by Elder Renland, that one aspect that we haven't talked about yet. And I believe it was him. I apologize. Sometimes these things, you know, looking back on them kind of meld together. But he talked about the things that we don't understand are objects of faith, right? When something happens that we don't know how that works out, and I think the LGBTQ question falls squarely into that because there are various circumstances and things like that. We're not told exactly how things are going to get sorted out in the end. So look at it this way. Kids who are born before they get married, right? How do they...
Before their parents get married.
not what I meant. But like someone who dies when they're young, they don't have the opportunity to grow up, have those experiences, find a spouse, get married, have children, immortality, grow old, have grandchildren, you know, all of the things, right? We are told in some fashion that they will not be denied, you know, as long as they're faithful, they won't be denied any of the happiness, right? But we don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. We have to take that on faith. And a lot of these things that we don't know exactly how they sort out, and faith's not easy, by the way, especially when it's something that you have personally or you have a heart-wrenching kind of struggle with. We have to take some of those things on faith. Also,
that's good. I would say that's good. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Like that makes me feel better.
That'll be the one thing we agree with on this episode. That's good.
Okay. And I don't disagree with you. It's just got these things. They're just so hard to sort out, you know, but there was a lot of that sentiment in this general conference is waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
Making sure that we don't shortchange ourselves from blessings by acting with haste and keeping true to our covenants, being patient with the Lord. And when we don't know everything, and that's where my frustration comes is I don't know everything.
Sure. Here's the other thing too, because I think we treat some of these things differently in the church, whether that's right or not, it's hard for me to say, but someone said this, I apologize. I don't remember who it was, but when it was said, it's almost like I don't care who said it. Yeah, it was so important that it be spoken.
Still true, yeah. Regardless of who said it.
They talked about how there's this sentiment going out there that, well, if the Lord loved me, he would just take me as I am.
Right.
And this gentleman said, the Lord can't take any of us how we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be changed in order to come unto him. All of us do. It's all in a different way. It's all in a personal way. But all of us have to change in order to become like him so that we can be with him. And so sometimes we parse like, well, oh, this person's journey to become like Christ isn't as hard as this person's journey to become like Christ. I think that is a rash judgment on our part. I think we should rightly empathize with people in whatever struggle that they have. But to try and say that, oh, it's easy for these people and it's not easy for these people is a mistake, in my opinion. All of us have to go through a change in order to be like Christ. And I don't care who you are, that change is hard.
Yeah. I generally make that comparison, but usually I'm like, oh man, like my life is so easy. I feel badly for people who have to go through hard things.
I think I've seen that too. People think they kind of rush to say the most recent example of it was that President Nelson's further along in his journey than I am or something like that. Like, I think a teacher was saying like, yeah, well, we're all on the same journey, but President Nelson, he's much closer to God than I am. Right. I was like, I don't think we can say that about anybody. Like, maybe he's a lot older. You can say that. Like,
sure.
Maybe in that way, he's closer to God.
Right.
But like his journey, his life has been a lot longer. He has a lot more experiences, you know, in that way. But I think that's where we see somebody who we perceive as like so righteous and we feel like they've done more than we have along the road, you know? And it's like when you're talking about eternity, there's no, somebody's further up than somebody else. It's like, we're all on the same journey, right? It's like, we're all right here, you know, we're all right in front of Heavenly Father. You know, we're not further along than anybody else. And so that's kind of where I've seen that, like we can't perceive somebody's journey has been harder than somebody else's. And we can't say that somebody's further along than we are. Like we're all just here. We're all just on the journey.
Yeah. I agree. Let's move on to missionary work. If that's okay. Cause I know that was a big thing and that was one thing I definitely want to talk about. And I did not know that would send us down that far of a rabbit hole. I think it's, at least for me, I feel like this is the first time in a long time that I've heard missionary service from the youth's perspective as blatantly as I heard it when I was a youth, you know, that serving, you know, missionary service is a priesthood obligation. You know, young men, bearers of the priesthood, you're expected to serve a mission. I think the feeling has been there, but I don't think they've said that like that in a long time.
Yeah, it's felt like it since the raising the bar,
yeah, lowering of the missionary.
This wasn't as bad as raising the bar was in terms of like its sternness, because
raising the bar was crazy.
Yeah, raising the bar was a big deal because at that point it wasn't just like, oh, you're a young man, you're expected to go on a mission. Yeah, you're a young man and you need to be better, and then you've got to go on a mission.
Yeah, that was like right after I got baptized was raising the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I was going to say, I felt like to me like I was younger than that, but I'm glad you got it too.
Yeah. Like, I think I got it like the tail end of it, but it was very much still very strong. Hmm. Like right when I got baptized, and I got baptized in 03. So I probably got the tail end, but it was still fresh in everybody's mind. I
remember when President Hinckley was talking. Was it President Hinckley or was it President Ballard or Elder Ballard?
Ballard.
Yeah.
You wrote a book. I remember that talk.
It was good. Yeah.
But yeah, and I think this probably has some pandemic effect that we're talking about, because there was so much uncertainty around missionary work. And I know there was lots of people that postponed going on missions because of the pandemic type restrictions that were going on around missionary work and the uncertainty there and those types of things. So I think this was probably a way of trying to reach out to those people as well that are still missionary age, but maybe the pandemic caused them to not want to go serve at that time or something like that. So I think there's probably multiple layers to it.
Yeah. I it was refreshing for me to hear that again, because and I don't think that they've had a, it feels like in youth serving missions is a good thing. It's always like, yeah, it's a good thing. But like, I haven't heard anything this explicit since the lowering of the age of missionary service. Which was a huge deal, and I was working that general conference as well, so I remember that one quite vividly. And I liked also that there was an emphasis on you don't need to serve a proselyting mission. That service missionary work is missionary work. It's not different. It's not a lesser mission,
right?
have you guys ever heard of Chiton? There's this mascot, a Japanese mascot, and they have like mascots for everything, right? And like people in costumes, but there's this one called Chiton, and he's on Twitter and he does crazy things. Like he'll just like have a TikTok of him just like beating a punching bag to death with this little bat. And I saw a GIF that said leaders addressing concerns about missionary or excuses about missionary work, and then they're just beating it to death. It's really funny. I'll have to send it to you guys. It was the best thing ever, besides the Pac-12 one.
Very cool.
Anyway, but yeah, I thought that was nice. What other big themes did you guys see?
It was the first time in a while that I've heard a talk about self-reliance. Which I thought was interesting. I thought President Nelson's emphasis on spiritual momentum was really cool.
That's a great way to put that. Yeah.
And so I thought that was great. Very good advice at any stage of your gospel journey, I think.
I think we'll talk about President Nelson's talk a little bit more about spiritual momentum next week.
Are you assuming somebody's going to draft it?
I mean, if you're not, I am.
And, you know, there's no more perfect analogy for spiritual momentum than BYU basketball.
there was speculation on Twitter as to what game that was, and I think people found it. It was BYU against Pacific, and BYU had no business being in a game that close to Pacific, because Pacific was terrible. But the player who stole the ball on the inbound pass and made the layup, he's a member of the church, and he posted, he's like, hey, this feels pretty good at getting a prophetic shout out. But yes, spiritual momentum with BYU basketball, I think we will have, I think that momentum is going to carry into next season, right, which is sad.
And next episode.
What were your favorite, besides the BYU versus Pacific basketball reference, what were some of your favorite stories that were told?
I think we better save that one for next week.
But I'm not going to draft that one. It'll be an undrafted free agent.
Really good songs sung this conference, actually. I will say that the best song goes to the women's session, Let Zion in Her Beauty Rise. An amazing great song.
I was tempted to put that in a less reverent term, and I reeled it back. I need to watch that women's session, because I haven't watched it yet. A lot, as I am not a woman
yet.
Are you scheduling something for me, unbeknownst to me? Okay, yeah, okay, good. End the episode there.
So, what did you think? What were the biggest talking points about General Conference in your opinion? Did we miss any? Let us know on our post on Instagram, or shoot us an email at plusrefreshments123@gmail.com. Also, we've got some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks and months, so be sure to subscribe if you haven't already, so you don't miss out.
Please bless us to get home safely.